the Apostle Paul, who prayed this for the brethren at Colossae in Colossians chapter 1 and in verse 10. My prayer is that you will walk in a manner that is worthy of the Lord. That you might please the Lord in all respects, bearing fruit in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God. Again, the Apostle Paul to the Corinthians. In 2 Corinthians chapter 5, beginning in verse 9, therefore we also have as our ambition, whether at home or absent, to be fully pleasing to the Lord. Because we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ to be judged according to what we've done in the body, whether it is good or whether it is bad. The reason for those two passages and that prayer was for us to begin this morning by appreciating Paul's great ambition and desire, not only for himself, but for all the saints of God in Jesus Christ. And it was simple. It was being fully pleasing to the Lord. There is a song that we sing entitled, Have Thine Own Way, Lord. Adelaide Addison Pollard put words to this great hymn. But it was in the year 1902, at the age of 40, while she was still single, she had planned to go to Africa as a missionary teacher. But right as she was getting to the point of setting sail for Africa, her funding did not come through. She was unable to go. She was sitting quietly, as the story goes, in a prayer meeting where she heard the following statement. It's all right, Lord, someone had said. It doesn't matter what you bring into our lives. Just have your own way with us. And having heard that, Adelaide Addison Pollard, that same evening before retiring, put these words on paper. Have thine own way, Lord. Have thine own way. Thou art the potter. I am the clay. Mold me and make me after thy will while I am waiting, yielded and still. When you sing that great hymn, when you hear those words that were put to ink many years ago, do you contemplate, really? Do I contemplate if I'm allowing the Lord to have His way with me? The fourth stanza of that great hymn says this. Have thine own way, Lord, have thine own way. Hold o'er my being absolute sway. Filled with thy spirit till all shall see Christ only always living in me. Does Christ really rule in my life? Am I really submitting myself so that I can say He has total sway over my heart? Am I being controlled and influenced by what the Holy Spirit has revealed in the Word? Am I yielding? Am I patient and am I waiting to make sure that my direction will be influenced and controlled by what the Holy Spirit has revealed in the Word? And am I living in such a way that it could be honestly said that others, when they look at me, that they can see Christ living in me? Think about that great hymn. Good morning and welcome to all who are here, especially those that are visiting this morning. If you are a visitor, I say to you, welcome. We all say to you, welcome. We are glad that you are here, and we invite you to come back and participate and assemble with us together in this place again today at 5 o'clock, but we are delighted, we are encouraged to have you in this assembly, in this place with us this morning. I want us to look at three principles together this morning, having considered the concept of being fully pleasing to the Lord and having contemplated that great hymn, Lord, have your own way with me. Am I letting God mold me and shape me and make me according to the true image of Christ? How controlled am I by the Word? How attentive am I to the leading of the Holy Spirit? By letting the Holy Spirit guide me through what I find in the pages of this book. I would have us together this morning, in a very simple way, when we look at the ABCs of Christianity, if you will, to think about our influence. There is another song that we sing. The title of that song is The World's Bible. Listen to some of the words of that great hymn. We are the only Bible. We are the only Bible the careless world will read. We are the sinner's gospel. We are the scoffer's creed. We are the Lord's last message given in deed and word. But what if the type is crooked? What if the print is blurred? Do you see the point in those words? It has to do with my life. And when others look at me, when others read me, am I truly reflecting the life of Christ? You know, very few will read the Bible. But every day somebody's going to read your life. Very few people will be looking into the pages of the book of God. But I will tell you, every day somebody is going to be looking at you. They're not studying the Bible, but perhaps they're studying you and they're studying me. 2 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 3, Paul said, we put no stumbling block in anyone's path so that our ministry will not be discredited. One translation. I love the English Standard Version. In 2 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 3, Paul said, we put no obstacle in anyone's way so that no fault may be found with our ministry. Do you see it's possible for someone to discredit your ministry as a result of finding fault with you, the minister? It's possible for someone to speak in a way that discredits the God of heaven. That is, it's possible for someone to look at my life and to read my life and say, if that's God, if that's Christ in you, I want nothing to do with that. I don't want to serve that kind of a God. Not every Christian intends on being a hindering influence. In fact, I would say most that would assemble on occasions like this, most are not just going out on a daily basis, on a weekly basis, trying to hurt people, to damage people, to lead people astray. But oftentimes, we don't give weight or serious enough consideration to the power of our influence. I don't know who you will find yourself being around this week, but I am confident saying that a lot of us, most of us, are going to be around a person or people this week that we haven't seen in months. Seize the opportunity. Watch your words, watch your conduct, check your attitude, check your disposition. Do all things in love. Now that might mean that there's a particular day next week that it is very hard for you to do everything in love. But we have to do everything in love. Respond in kind, with kindness and courtesy. Homes will get crowded and people may get cranky. Check your influence. that person that you will find yourself around this week maybe, perhaps, is the very person that you're trying to reach with the goodness of the gospel of the grace of God. Don't you want them to hear you? Well, in part, that's going to be determined by how you live. Isn't it easier to fight for principles than it is to live up to them? You ever thought about that? Isn't it easier to fight for principles than it is to actually live up to those principles that we claim to be fighting for? Let me illustrate. At this point, in this place, it's easy. At this point, in this place, it's easy for me to speak out with regards to certain sins. Not long ago, several months ago, the sin of homosexuality. But I've known Christians that would speak out against homosexuality, and all the while that they were speaking out against homosexuality and calling it a sin, were engaged in adultery or committing fornication. See, isn't it easier to stand up for principles than it is to fight for principles than it is to live up to them? We rail against immodesty. But do I lack shame? Do you lack shame and discretion and decency in other areas of life? Modesty is not simply limited to how we dress. Our conduct is to be decent and honest. We cite passages that expose the sin of stealing and tell others not to steal. But have I been cheating God and cheating others of talent and time and attention? In principle, I'm guilty of stealing. We know that influence matters. We know that we are to adorn the doctrine of God, our Savior. We are to make the teaching about God, Titus chapter 2 and verse 10, attractive. Am I making a difference where I live? In the words to the title of a song that was in another book that I grew up singing from, Brighten the Corner Where You Are. Where you are living this week, where you find yourself this week, make sure it's a better place, it's a godly place, because you in part are there. Johann Wolfgang Van once said, let everyone sweep in front of his own door and the whole world will become clean. Sweep in front of your own door. Check your influence. Number two, not only think about influence, but take some initiative. To be fully pleasing to the Lord, the initiative here attaches itself to pleasing the Lord. Someone once said there are three types of people in the world. Three types of people in the world. Number one, those who don't know what's happening. Number two, those who watch what's happening. And number three, those who make things happen. Those who don't know what's happening, those who watch what's happening, and those who make things happen. Which one are you? Which one am I? People of initiative take action. They take action to accomplish what they believe God wants accomplished in their life through them. Because they know that they're constantly being watched and looked at. So attach the initiative to your influence, is what I'm saying. Where do you need to take some initiative? Where do you need to take some action in a godly sort of way, in a spiritual sort of way, in such a way that would influence others to want to please the God that you are trying to please? That would make others want to serve the God that you are trying to serve? Maybe for you it's taking an active start or some initiative and moving away from some bad habit. Don't wait till December, the end of this month. You have no guarantee of the end of this month. Don't say, well, that's going to be my New Year's resolution. Start now. Because you only have guarantee of now. Maybe for you, it's pursuing peace with someone. And so the Word of God would say to you, would say to me, as much as depends on you. You can control you. That's all you can control. You can control you. So control you by taking initiative to find the best place, put yourself in the best position to, with this person, build a bridge. Pursue peace. He or she may reject. He or she may refuse. He or she may not be ready. But you've tried to take initiative. Let me pause and say, once you try to take initiative, please don't find yourself wanting to go back and go back and go back and go back and push and push and push. Once you've taken initiative to pursue peace, I'm not telling you to give up as a peace pursuer, but I am telling you, you don't need to necessarily go to that person every day for the next 7 days. So after you've gone to the person to pursue peace, pray for the person. Having first prayed for yourself. Maybe you need to be a peace pursuer. Maybe it's taking the gospel of Christ. Maybe extending an invitation to someone to study the Bible, to come here in this place to hear the Bible taught and to preach. Maybe it's to visit someone this week. Maybe it's to encourage someone this week. And so you're going to have to take initiative to carve out time in your schedule. And I know our schedules are full and going to be full this week. Where do you need to take action? The acrostic START. S-T-A-R-T. If you're jotting it down, just jot down S-T-A-R-T. The acrostic START. Here's what you need to do. Number one, stop making excuses. Accept responsibility, don't blame others. Instead of making excuses for why things are the way they are, and you are where you are, and why you are where you are, seek solutions and stop making excuses. Stop making excuses. Number two, take an honest look at yourself first. In taking initiative, look first at you before you look at others. You know, we're real good looking at others. And sometimes we don't see ourselves the way God sees us. Take a good look at yourself. Apply the Word. Apply the Word so it moves you into, again, obedience, fully pleasing the Lord. Without excuse, without saying this isn't the right time or someone else could do it better or I don't think I'll do it any good. Take some initiative in applying the Word to go do something to the glory of God. Refocus your thinking. Keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it springs the issues of life. Guard your hearts. Take control of your thoughts. Refocus your thinking and then trust in the Lord. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Do not lean on your own understanding. The acrostic START. Take some initiative to accomplish a work for God that will benefit certainly you and that will benefit someone else. Take a look at your influence. Take some initiative. And number three, treasure your integrity. The wise man in Proverbs 20 and verse 7 says, the righteous man walks in his integrity. Proverbs 11 and verse 3, the integrity of the upright will guide them. Integrity, from the Latin integritas, which means wholeness or completeness. Integrity, wholeness or completeness. Completeness. It's the quality or state of being complete or undivided. The quality or state of being complete, undivided. Wholeness. Integrity. The righteous man walks in his integrity. Which takes us full circle to where we started. You see, if I'm going to look at my influence and then take some initiative, doesn't that at least mean in part that I want to walk in integrity? You see, people who treasure their integrity will take seriously their influence. People who treasure their integrity will take some initiative in some sort of way to better themselves and to better and to influence and help others. Integrity means doing what's right when no one else is looking. People of integrity aren't interested in living by a double standard. People of integrity aren't trying to live one way in one circle in one place in a completely different way while around a different sort of people in a different environment or place. Who I am in this place is to be who I am tomorrow in the workplace. Who you are in this place is to be who you are tomorrow, whether you're in Cedar Park, Texas, Georgetown, Texas, Leander, Texas, or in another state. Integrity means doing what you said you would do. It's just a person who's reliable, can be counted on. It's a person who can be trusted. Integrity means being humble and honest enough to accept the truth about yourself. And isn't that hard? People of integrity prefer the truth over a lie. Even though that particular point in their life and that particular passage and principle of truth may sting a bit, may demand in me or in you radical change so that we can be once again pleasing to the Lord, so that I can be truly molded and shaped by the Lord, that I might be more conformed to the image of Jesus Christ. People of integrity prefer hearing truth over hearing lies. I know it matters. I know it matters how we say what we say. The reason I know it matters how I say what I say and how you say what you say is because the Word of God is clear. It tells us you be speaking truth in love. Truthing in love is the way the Greeks would hear it. And I think back on my life, and I'll tell you quite honestly, there were times when I spoke truth, but perhaps not in a loving way. That is, what was coming out of my mouth is what the Word of God says ought to come out of my mouth. Thus says the Lord. The Lord says this. And at the point I was saying it, it wasn't coming from a heart of concern and compassion and love. Like a surgeon, I was just going in with my scalpel and trying to get the job done. And it was hard for that person who needed to hear what I was saying, because what I was saying is what the Word of God says. It was hard for that person to receive and to accept what I was saying. I get that. And I've been on the other end at times where someone came to me and said something to me and just blasted me over the head. What they said was right. And what they said I needed to hear, because there was something in me that needed correcting. And so what they said to me was true, but the way they said it was not in love. And I will tell you my response. My response was this. Which body language says, I'm not hearing a word you're saying. But you know what? At the end of the day, and essentially in the day of reckoning or judgment by the Lord, if change is needed in me, even though it's not communicated in love, if it's something I need to hear, and it's a change that I need to make, that's what I need to do. People of integrity, given time, will honestly and humbly look at what is said, consider what is said, and in finding it to be true to the Word of God, will apply it to their lives. He who walks with integrity walks securely. He who walks with integrity walks securely. And the secure walk has everything to do with the relationship that we now sustain with God. There's peace between me and God. And so my walk is a secure walk. My path is a sure path. My hope is a real hope. Because I'm in favor and in fellowship with God. Think about your influence. Take some initiative. Treasure your integrity. The ABCs of Christianity. Apply them today and apply them this week. You're writing a gospel, says the author of this poem. You're writing a gospel, a chapter a day. By the deeds that you do and the words that you say. Men read what you write, whether faithful or true. And so just what is the gospel according to you? If you're here this morning, and spiritually, you're in need of the Lord. Maybe it's simply by way of confessing your faith in Jesus as the Christ. You cannot save yourself. The blood has been shed. The blood of Christ will cleanse you and forgive you of sins. But you must plead that blood. You must by faith come in contact with that blood. You must be with belief in your heart. Having repented and confessed your sins, you must trust Christ by coming to Him in faith, responding to the gospel, and being immersed in water, baptized to have your sins washed away. And we wait, and we encourage you and plead with you to come to Christ and to be washed in His blood. If you are here this morning and you have not considered your influence seriously, or perhaps your influence is hindering and hurting others, repent of that. Change that. Take some initiative today by humbling yourself. Maybe in the quietude of your heart, going to your Heavenly Father and saying, Lord, forgive me. Cleanse me. Make me anew. So that I can better be a servant of yours, pleasing you and influencing others to want to do the same, to please you. Take some initiative by doing that this morning. And if we can help you spiritually, in any way, to hold up your hands in doing right. Won't you come while together we stand and while we sing?